Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Today, we're exploring how life has changed over the past few decades with the impact of globalization, technology, and new cultural trends. We'll also look at Ayatollah Khamenei's guidance on the Islamic Iranian lifestyle and what it means for us individually, for our families and societies. Let's dive into this important conversation together. Welcome, dear brothers and sisters, to your program, The Viewpoint from IRIB English Radio. This is Said Ali, the host, and I'm here to talk with my two great brothers, Brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, dear brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Really good to have you here, both
That's
of you.
It's a pleasure.
Dear Brother Muhammad, what are some practical steps family can take to improve communication and unity at home? Because right now, even between siblings, we've seen some challenges. Are there, like, people are different people, they cannot tolerate each other, they want the different things, you know what I'm saying? So Tell us more.
You see, the glue that keeps the family together is the father and the mother, the parents, basically. And so therefore the major responsibility is on the parents to keep the unity and that sense of cohesion within the family itself. And they're the ones who are tasked with making sure that disintegration and disunity is being resisted within the family. And so whenever there is a problem within the family, and also keep in mind that every generation requires its own different techniques of upbringing and education and training. As Imam Ali mentions clearly in Nahjul Balagha, he says, every generation, I'm paraphrasing his hadith, every generation is different. And you should not treat your kids the way you were treated in your generation, because your generation is different from the generation of your kids. Mm-hmm. Treat them, and then we have other sayings to back this, كَلِّمِ النَّاسِ بِقَدْرِ عُقُولِهِمْ. Treat them the way that they deserve to be treated. Mm. Now, if in your age, if as our parents, they were not very well acquainted with social media, Now, you cannot treat your kids the same way that you were treated, because their circumstances are different.
So what should they do? Like, they already, they lack the, social media literacy.
I'll get to that point. I want to finish the point with unity. So in many cases, the disintegrations happen from the incident, and you have to analyze what's happening in the family and find those weak points and try to heal them. And this is as simple as put. You know, there is nothing secret sauce towards the unity. And as Brother Ali mentioned, unfortunately, with the development model proposed by the West, unfortunately, we put our kids in the daycare centers and nurseries and so on at a very early age. So that bonding of love between the father and the mother and the child does not happen the way it should deservingly happen. Mm-hmm. And that bond is unfortunately expended elsewhere. It happens between probably the peers of that child with the teacher and so on. We don't know how this teacher can influence. And in many cases, unfortunately, the motives of the teacher is really material. Mm-hmm. And there is not much love involved all the time. At least the love that a parent must have to the child is not involved in schools. And so therefore, this lifestyle needs to be properly reinvestigated and reformed to make sure that the unity is very well kept, the love is within the family is very well kept, Making sure there is more family quality time. And so many hadith and riwayat we have, just by staying with family, not doing anything particular, Being with family, there is thawab, there is reward in that. Being with family, you don't need to do, you don't need to make jokes, you don't need to watch TV. You know, the Islamic lifestyle says that the meals must be done with family.
What do you mean?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner must be done with family. Yeah. Unfortunately, now the breakfast is because the kids have to get ready. They're the kids are having breakfast in the way, or when they reach school. Lunch is in the school. The dinner, sometimes the father is outside, sometimes the mother is outside, and so these quality times, and sometimes we underestimate these things. Some of the major realities and deficiencies that cause disunity within the family. So this is with disunity. With regards to the social media point that I mentioned, that was merely an example. But since you brought it up, you see, tactics, the best way to learn tactics is to ask and get consultations from the others who have tested this already. Now, there have been many Islamic psychologists and psychology centers who have tested different ways of upbringing the kids with the recent technologies. Mm-hmm. You know, learning this, just Googling these courses, you know, Islamic way of upbringing with social media, Googling these courses, and also taking examples from the previous generation. Unfortunately, I met a family, and it's a very respectful family. It's a family of ulama, scholars, and so on. The child is 24/7 on phone. Mm. And I said, how are you, you know, coping with this? This is not even like, you know, the child does not have any interest in family anymore. It's the phone. Everything is phone. Even when he wants to call, even when he wants to get in communication with the family, call, phone. Mm-hmm. Everything is phone.
Yeah.
So they're like, is it even possible to take phone away from the kids? This is the response I got. Is it even possible? If you make them, if you addict them with, this is a general rule. If you addict a child with something, anything, whether it be phone or anything, then it's difficult for you to remove that child from that addiction. Mm-hmm. So do not make them addicted. Let's put time management on them. Have control over them. And of course, these control mechanisms are different for different ages. Early stages has a different control mechanism until the age of 7. After the age of 7, there's a different control mechanism. And after the age of puberty, there is a different control mechanism. It's not the same throughout the ages of the children. So these mechanisms should be upheld and adhered to very very well to ensure that the proper upbringing has been manifested in an Islamic family.
Thank you so much, dear brother Ali. You know, mostly families, schools, and mosques have already shaped our society, if we want to be realistic. How can these three, family, school, and mosque, we already covered the family part in both of your talks, work together to protect and promote Islamic, you know, lifestyles and Islamic value-based life?
Definitely. I mean, we have been talking about the importance of family in our previous session and even at the very beginning of this very session. So as the brother also mentioned, being with family, being, I mean, in touch with family members by itself actually strengthens these relations and actually gives a sort of injects happiness, ecstasy to the members of the family. The same way, in case the environment of the school is the environment that has been based on this, I mean, Islamic role model that we are talking about, then it is guaranteed that, okay, it is for the same purpose, for the same goals that we have had, I mean, for our kids. So the environment should be based on what we are after. Look, there are some centers in the society that actually are making some small communities, like, for example, as mosque, the other one is as a school, the other one is something as family or the house. So all of them all together actually form the personality of our kids, or let's say actually play their important role in the betterment of this role model that we are talking about. Look, the role of the mosque cannot be denied. We have seen the role of the mosque even in the 8-year war that we had here in our country. So the mosques were the places where people were motivated and to enter, I mean, the France, and actually they were the centers that the people learned their Islam and Islamic teachings, or let's say religious teachings. At the same time, they were these centers, these mosques were the center that people were equipped with these trainings that was needed for attending the France. So we see that the functionality of this mosque is not one-sided, so it is multidimensional. So from one side actually strengthens, from one side it gives, some training or education with regard to the religion of the community that it is in its vicinity. From the other side, it gives them good insights about their role in society and even in the Islamic Ummah. So the role that the person has in Islamic Ummah. So now, what is his role if, for example, the enemy has attacked the Islamic territory? The same way that the Holy Prophet, we took this lesson from the Holy Prophet because he was making the most important decisions in masjid, either Masjid Nabi or other masajid that he was attending, because companions came to visit him there, and it was the center of his leadership.
But now things are different. Like,
We need to give the same role to masjids as mosques again.
Because mosque where, you know, mosque functions something that other institutions, other places, like, I don't know, clinics for like or like for a therapist, or like, I don't know, judiciary system, buildings, or other things, or other, I would say,
government offices.
Yeah, government offices, all the things. They got separated. Those people like must becomes merely a place as you know, a worship place.
A part of those actually specialized duties of mosque that have been separated. That it goes without saying. I mean, it has its center in judiciary. The other one has its center, for example, in. But gathering people in one center actually, or injecting the morale of being with each other to know about the problems of each other. Look, Islam by itself brought these rituals in order to ask us to be with others in the community.
So it was I'm saying it was a need that brought people together in mosques, but nowadays mosque merely becomes a place to worship God.
So this is
how do you want to change it?
This is our mistreatment with the mosque. We need to crack this treatment towards mosque. Mm-hmm. We need to give the same roles to mosque again in this new system, this actually role model that we are talking about. Mosque should be the center of lots of decisions that is being made in a community. Mm-hmm. So even the head of judiciary needs to attend mosque in order to see the his addressees or the people that he is in touch with, mm-hmm. not in his own office. A part of work should be done in his office, but the same way that the head of judiciary, I mean, for example, Qadhi al-Qudat, the dawn of Islam, was doing his judgment in some centers.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was attending the congregational prayers, sure. Jama'ah prayers. So this is the place that he has to meet, he has to see the people. Mm-hmm. So we need to give this role to mosque. Mosque are very important. I mean, important key. Mosques have a very important and key role in the society, because it's a center that brings people together to see what their problems are. I mean, what are the problems of the society? Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ask us, I mean, even for going to mosque, we have some classes, we have some levels. Mm-hmm. For our daily prayers, so we have been asked to attend any mosque. Necessarily, I mean, for us, is easily we can understand that we can attend the mosque which is in our vicinity. But for Friday prayers, where in a central mosque, where we need to know about the issues of Muslims, the issues of people in a larger scale.
Yeah.
Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us, again, in an annual level, it has to be where? In Mecca, in a greater mosque, where people all should gather to each other and to see what are the problems of people in a very larger scale for the whole Islamic community, in the whole world. So when we are actually thinking about the philosophy of these things, these kind of prayers and rituals to be held where, so we can understand the importance of these things. We have been talking about the importance of family, the importance of mosque, and the importance of the school, and the kind of trainings and education that we need to actually provide for our kids.
Thank you so much. Thank you, both of you, for this thoughtful and insightful discussion. Thank you so much. That will be all. Today's discussion reminds us that while challenges are real, the greater task before us is to build our own model of life, one that draws strength from our faith, our families, our youth, and our rich culture. This is not just an option. It is essential for shaping our future. Thank you, all of you, for listening to this conversation. Till another episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
شفعة أنا لها أنا.